Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new month. Happy new month. Believe it or not, we're in the month of September. Who'd have thought they would come down this first? Only 4 months to the end of 2020. But I'm grateful we've made it this far. So before we go any further, I think we should open the door of shopping online for joining home appliances, personal gadgets, and curated home decor for your spaces. Check out BK by Moki on IG and Quick Living app. You can download it on the Play Store. It has all the competitive prices that you'd want and genuine products for your entertainment, for your home use. Check him out and try out the products. Just in case if you're joining us right now, do yourself a big favor. Go and listen to the previous episode. Friends with Benefits Part 1. I don't want to waste any of your time. Let's jump in into the second part of the series.
Yeah, so while that was happening, I was just now mostly starving myself. I would stay in bed for a week at a go. I'd only go to the toilet and back, to the kitchen and back. And I'd stay in bed for about that 2 months. So I got really thin and I looked really bad and I just looked really sick. And I was ready to start. I was starting to plan the suicide because it was coming up. It's December. I was counting down. I'm like, wow, 30 days, 29, like that. So I was really awaiting that day. That's when I started talking to people. I said, okay, since I have 30 days, I can have 30 days to tell people goodbye or just have one last conversation with most people. So I did that, and that's when Helen started showing up within those 30 days. And she just started talking to me about God and churches and the pastors. And so Helen is consistent and persistent. Like, she really wants me to do things with her. And whether I felt like it or I didn't feel like it, she just made me do it. So I'd go to her place, and she lives near me. So I'd go to her place, we'd talk. She'd come to my place, we'd talk at least once a week. And so because of that, I wasn't able to uphold the suicide thing. So I decided to postpone it, and I said, okay, I'll think about it later. I'll plan for it again. Let me see where this is going, well, what Helen is up to. Let me see what she's doing, and then after I'm done figuring that out, I can proceed. So she one time comes and tells me how, okay, we had conversations about moving churches and going to this church and experiences at the different churches we had. So I had really made my position clear that I did not want to go to church anymore. So she one time came to me and told me that she found a spiritual father who told her that she should attend discipleship at some church. And she wanted to go check the church out. And she wanted me to go with her. So I was so unwilling to go because of my past experiences. I really didn't want to go to another church and therefore spoil the name of church again, like extra. By then I was really done with church. I just saw how it's so hard to be a Christian by then. So she came and she told me that she wants me to accompany her. And I really didn't want to go to church. So I came up with an excuse because they had services twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. So on Monday she called me and wanted me to accompany her, and I came up with an excuse and I told her that I couldn't make it. So on Wednesday she came, or rather she called me, but it was that same Wednesday that I was thinking about how awesome it would be to hear God. And I was just saying, hey God, I wonder if I can hear you. I wonder if there's a way to hear you talking to me personally and not just through other people. Like, I was also done with people prophesying to me. I really hated that God could speak to other people except me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's another topic,
anyway. That's for another day. Yeah, but by then, so many people would come to me and tell me things about myself. And at that point, I was almost getting angry. Like, why can't you just tell me things about me? Why can't you tell me? By telling people, you can tell me as well. So I was thinking about how awesome it would be to hear God. So on Wednesday, she calls me and she says, guess what? I say, what? She says, the preaching was about how to hear God. And I was confused, but I was also elated. I said, wow, I've never heard such a teaching. I've never heard such a church preaching how to hear God. Where did that come from? And then I remembered that I was thinking about it, and I just started thinking about how it's not a coincidence. So I decide that on Thursday I'm going to go and check it out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, and it's amazing. Right from the moment I walk in, it's amazing. And it's like something I've never experienced before. It was so different. I'd gone to so many churches and I saw similarities in most of them. But this one was particularly different. The style of worship was so simple. The only instrument they had was a guitar and percussion. And the worship was so genuine. The prayers were so heartfelt. And I felt at home immediately I got there. And I knew that's where I'm going to serve. That's where I'm going to stay. This is my place. So I told Helen, I think I found the church I'm going to stay in. And I stayed there. So it was so good, I decided to come back the next Monday. By this time, I'm still smoking. By then, we have a gang at home where we just smoke 3 times a day. So
it's like a medication.
Exactly. So morning, we're taking blunts, like, and we're like 5 people. So if everyone can buy 2 blunts, you can imagine how many blunts we have at the end of the day, and cigarettes. So I'd smoke 3 times a day, and then I'd go to church when I'm so high.
Blessings to the Most High. Oh, okay.
I'd go to church and I'm so high. By then, I already know how to hide it. I know how to make it work. So
wait. How do you hide it?
Like, you know, when you're high on weed, your eyes are really red. So I'd wear shades. I'd wear glasses. I'd just make it not look like I'm high. So I'd go to church, and when I listen, oh my gosh, it made so much more sense. I don't know. There was something about that high. It just changed something in my life. So I would listen to the message and it made so much sense. And I felt such an assurance from my spirit, and I just knew, wow, this is the truth. This is what I need to be listening to. So it was then I decided I'm going to stay in this church for minimum 3 months. If it's still this good by the time 3 months is done and my life has not stayed the same, I'm going to stay here forever. And so once that decision has been taken, at home, I start smoking with a reason, a purpose. So I'm getting high so that I can read the Bible. I'm getting high so that I can go pray in tongues. Or I'm getting high so that I can go and do something connected to God. Or I'd go journal, because I love writing to God. I have a book that's just, it's God's book. So when I write on it, technically it's me telling God something. So it's just amazing, can I say? Then those guys are just wondering why I'm getting high if I'm going to just read the Bible. Because we get high and talk all day. But now I'd be the quiet one, I'm just reading. And it was at that point that I started seeing things differently. I didn't feel as bad as I used to. And I'm really enjoying all of it. So I'm still smoking, but I'm still going to church. And I'm already starting to show the effect. I'm getting jovial. My appetite is back. The insomnia is gone. I'm feeling more hopeful. It was just an internal cleanse that I could not explain. But again, it started so subtly. Like, it was so subtle, I didn't even notice. It just happened. And then I started meeting new friends. And I had known that I really had that longing for connection. So when I met these people, it was so easy to open up. It was so easy to share. And it was such a beautiful community that they just understand you and they love you the way you are. It's so beautiful, something I had not experienced before. Because where I've been, it's like what you're good at is what you're hated for. But here, what you're good at is what you're congratulated on and things like that. So it was a totally different scenery from the church life that I was used to. Or the one that I had thought was supposed to be the normal church. So
it was... Wait, let me just pause you, Kidogo Apo. You've mentioned some very interesting things about church.
Yeah.
What you're good at.
Yes.
People are like... reprimanding you about it?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Hated for.
Why? As in, could you explain more on that?
Yes. So I had two different experiences with the churches that I was serving at. And the first church, I joined the worship team because I sing. And because the music director really liked my voice, he liked how I worshipped and how I sang. He used to pick me for most of the worship songs that would be done on Sundays during ministration. And people who'd been in the choir longer didn't like it. So there was a lot of negativity from them. And I was suspended for no reason for about 3 weeks.
And for no reason, just like that?
Yes, just like that. So what they do is they just go and tell you the superior pastor that you did something and he just gives the order without confirming or whatnot. You just sign something and you're suspended. So of course, I didn't stay there long because it was not long. I went to Juba. I got into another church there. And there it was the pastor who loved my worship, who loved how I worshiped and how I sang. And he would call me on the pulpit whenever he's singing or whenever he wants to do a preaching, and he would ask me to sing before he preached. And that was like in the first 2 weeks of me being in the church. So people were really upset, people who had been there for long. They were really upset. And it was so bad. I was under so much pressure, I had to leave. That's when I had met this new friend who introduced me to another church. That's when I stopped going to church to serve. So by the time I came back to Nairobi, I had not gone to church up until that time. So since November to around April, I had not gone to a church. I had not stepped foot in a church for that while.
Okay.
So I was really not liked because of how I was singing, but in this church, because I was singing, people really liked it and they wanted to hear me sing, and it was such a different experience. So I started reading the Bible more often, and I kept seeing how God is so different, so much different from what I had been fed all my life, because I had really received the wrong, or rather, it wasn't as straightforward as it should be. So I had learned so many things that were not true, that were not even rooted in the Bible, but because I never read it for myself, I never found out. So it was at this point that I found out these things, and I saw how God loves me and how he's just amazed by me, and he enjoys my company and all that. And that starts melting my heart. And I start becoming more and more drawn to God. So anytime I smoke, I come and spend time with God. So that was like our moment. That was like our time together. And I would even look forward to getting high so that I can spend time with God. So.
And may I add something?
Yeah.
Because you know when you're saying this,
yeah,
you're just amazing me in another light. Because,
yeah,
remember, we met in the confines of church. That's how we got to meet.
Yes.
And the way I knew you like this. This is how I perceived you. You're a very spirit-filled type of lady and stuff like that. So right now, when you're telling me you felt like there was no relationship,
yeah,
with God, you didn't know who God was because God wasn't really speaking to you. I'm really like, oh, yeah, okay. And I'm like telling myself, you know, at times, this work, this salvation work, is truly a personal journey.
Yeah, it really is.
It's you and your God. Because people can, you can always put up a show, and people will think whatever they want to think. Kumbe, you do not have any relationship. Ama, people may perceive you to be having no relationship with God. Kumbe, nindo mna zawadi, nafikisha na nae.
Yeah.
So I think, I just wanted to float in your koyo story yako. But again, it's not my story.
Right. Well, I can talk more about it. So, it's not like I really, really didn't have a relationship with God. I was born again, and I actually knew that there's something about me singing, me worshipping, that just draws the presence of God or something. I always knew that, and whenever I went to worship, it was true. But I never really felt that response from God, can I say, personally. I always felt like it was just one way, that I always did it all, and for Him was just to receive the glory. And I grew up being taught that for you, all you need to do is to do. And God will receive the glory, and that's the end of story. So I wasn't really told much about how much God loves me, and that He wants to have conversations with me, or that He wants to just spend time with me. Like, I don't have to be always saying, God, you are worthy, you are holy, you are, you know? I was taught like, that's the only way to relate to God. And if you don't relate like that, you're not relating correctly. So you see, I always knew, like, when I do worship, God receives it, and it's amazing. But there's no way me and Him can talk. It's like a boss and employee kind of, like a servant kind of relationship. So I was stuck on the servant relationship, where I know I can get the audience of God and I can have a relationship with Him, but it's strictly on a servant relationship kind of way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so when I came here, I was being told different things, like God loves you and God just wants to talk to you, just wants to spend time with you, and God, you know, He's not mad at you, and that you're not going to go to hell right now if you lie or something. You have Jesus. He's not going anywhere. Oh, at all times, I used to be anxious about not getting to heaven because of the next small thing. But, you know, after the assurance of salvation, it brought some peace that I had never experienced before. And these were things that I had never learned, but I was starting to see for myself, even in the Bible. Like, when I kept reading the Bible, I would see instances where God would tell me things like, He loves me, and that no one shall pluck me out of His hand, and that I am the apple of His eye, you know? And such scriptures, they just cemented God's love for me in my heart. And the more I kept reading them and internalizing them, the less and less I needed to get high. I was now more interested in just reading. So I stopped getting as high. I stopped completely. But I remember that before I stopped, I joined the church in April. I think I stopped smoking maybe in around August. Around August is when I really stopped smoking.
So you just one day I'm cut and you're like, to hell with this thing.
It's reduced. So I would go from taking 10 blunts a day to maybe 6 and then maybe 3 and then generally 1. And then I'd find myself like, okay, today I don't feel like smoking and I don't smoke. Or I just find myself, I'm reading the word. I don't even feel like going outside. The people come with the smokes and I don't feel like going outside. And I just stopped. And just stopped like that because I kept going to church twice a week. And we also had, we were introduced to home cell fellowship. So I used to go to that as well. So you see, I was plugged into a ministry consistently for over 3 months. So that really stopped that craving for getting high.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Plus I went for discipleship. I got baptized. That's amazing. And it just stopped. The desire stopped. I didn't want to do it anymore. So after that whole period, I decided finally to, or rather, I got the peace about talking about all this experience. And that's when I posted it on Facebook. And you know, I got so many responses from people, so unlikely people, even in my inbox, telling me how they have the same experience and how they thought no one else goes through these things. And you know, it's taught me a big lesson. Like, we always think our problems are unique to us until we share it and we realize we all have one or two experiences that are quite similar. So,
actually, Grace, you know what they say?
Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
So whatever you're going through right now, you've gone through it, you're just coming out of it, or you're just about to get into it.
Yeah.
That's how life is.
Exactly.
Mm.
So I learned something very important. And you see, most people, when you share with them, if it's someone who really wants to understand and not just to respond, I've met those people as well, you know? Once they want to understand and not just to respond, you realize that most people are going through the same thing. And if we just listen and give someone attention, like the right kind of attention they need, then it will be fine and those people will be more comfortable sharing. But so my experience wasn't that good when I started sharing with people because I would share it with someone and perhaps they would think I'm joking and would shrug it off. Or I found another one who I shared with and they told me it's not as bad as I think and that I should stop overthinking things. You know, it was by then I was about to go and commit suicide. So when someone told me something like that, I was so sure I shouldn't be alive. I wasn't ready to live in such a life. I was going to be done with that life. So, and most people would minimize the pain. They'd be like, oh, just that? You haven't seen pain. You should come and I tell you my story. It's more painful.
Well, in Swahili, it sounds very much sarcastic. Hiyo tu?
And that's how they say it. And you're left wondering, should I have shared this? Yeah, and you know, by then I was so tired with people, but you know, this new experience has just shown me how to love people the way they are, because everyone is hurting one way or the other. You just don't know about it.
It's very true.
So I've come to learn a lot of things, actually, because even these people that are hard to love, then they're the best person to love because they need it so much more. So, you know, I've come even to learn how to speak to people with more listening than talking, because most people say a lot of things in between the lines. especially when you let them talk. They say a lot more than they would say if you were always interrupting. Yeah.
You know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not that thinker. I fall into that category. But I've heard your story, and I actually read it first, got in touch with you, because you had drifted for quite a while. I didn't know your whereabouts. In fact, I felt so bad that all these things happened, and I was nowhere in your space at that particular period. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, as you're narrating, something just came to me, and I was like, you remind me of this guy called Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said we should be tolerant towards other people,
yeah,
I think that's what we should all strive to be. We should all strive to be a Barabbas to every person that we meet. Look at how Barabbas was to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul had just converted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was this prosecutor, and everyone had doubts about him.
Mm-hmm.
But it took the mercy that Barnabas had upon him, and he could extend that to even the other apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord Paul could be accepted into that fold of the men of God at a particular time. And see all the achievements that he was able to make. Actually, a huge portion of the New Testament is credited to him. But just imagine, if at all, he wouldn't have had that Barnabas in his life. What would he have turned into? And that is the same challenge that may be posed to us. We should always strive to extend that. We should be really merciful towards anyone and everyone, because everyone is going through some sort of struggle. Okay. We do not know exactly the extent, the things that someone is going through at that particular moment. Okay. It may be trivial to you, but it is one huge thing for the person who's going through. Because people have different resilience levels. So you can't always compare or try to make things to be the same. You can't always just perceive things to be the same the way maybe you'd have handled them. So it's always my prayer that I may always have that mercy,
mm-hmm.
that I can extend to every other person who may come across my path, or I may be placed along their path,
yeah.
that I may be their Barnabas. That is my daily prayer. That has always been my daily prayer.
Wow. Are you sure you're not a pastor?
I'm not. That one I can tell you for certain.
You sound like you can be one.
Nah, never.
All right. Well,
kila mtu anajua nini, kila mtu anajua mali uzito yako inafika. But I'm really happy that you took time to come and share this. Hopefully someone who may get to hear this may be also encouraged to come out of that depressing feeling that they might be going through at the particular time, at that particular time, or whatever thing, whatever struggle that they are going through, because you've had a mix of issues from coming out of drugs to coming out of those suicidal feelings, doing away with friends, now just having to embrace people once more,
yeah.
getting to embrace the church community once again. You've made strides after strides which are remarkable, and I just thank God for you, and I pray that your experience may also be touching to any other person who may get to hear it.
Wow, thank you so much, and amen to that.
Mm-hmm. But again, mm-hmm. now that I've said that, mm-hmm. I also have to say this, because it will be very wrong if I do not mention it. Friends are good, but don't let your life rotate around friends.
Yeah.
Always remember that friends come and go. The people who are just stationed there for seasons. And imagine you wrap your entire life around someone who was there for a season. Yeah. When the season is done, you feel like your entire life is crumbling. So, for heaven's sake, Grace, you know that my little sister. So, I say this with authority. Friends are good, but don't let your life put it around friends.
Thank you.
So, any last words that you want to share before we go?
I can. Okay, did I? Right, I can say this. One of the most important lessons I've learned during this whole experience is that the way we can do the commandment that Jesus gave us. That is, the greatest thing above all is love. The first one is love God with all your heart, and the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. I've come to learn that once you learn to love God, there's nothing else you'll ever need in this life. Once you learn to love God, because when He teaches you how to love, it'll automatically mean you love your neighbor. You won't lie to your neighbor if you love him. You won't steal from him or kill him. It turns out all these things that we do negatively is because we don't love our neighbors and we don't love ourselves. But once we learn to love God, He'll teach us what love is, what real love is. Not this love that's depicted in movies and whatnot. The real love of God. Then that is all we need. That is all we need. In fact, in this Christian walk, that's all there is to it. It's not even about how to stop sinning. It's about how to learn to love God and how to learn to accept His love. Yeah. And God loves all of us. God loves you. God loves me. God loves you.